Well, hey, Blackhawk Church, good to be with you. My name is Joel. I'm one of the pastors on staff. As you came in today, you'll see in this room, things are a little bit different. We are testing out a couple of cameras that are part of the design work in Project Tech. And so you'll see that kind of happening in this room. Online folks, we hope you'll be able to notice some things that convey a little bit more of the life and energy going on in this space as we worship together. So let me invite you to stand with us as we get started. We're going to sing out to our King together. Let's worship him.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love.
Sing it out.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. And you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
Nothing is better than you. hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. And look at the wounds that give me life, grace flowing from my side. No greater sacrifice. What he's done, what he's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. And I praise God for what he's done.
The freedom he has won, even death is dead and done. His life has overcome. Speak, say the name above all names, over every broken place. He is risen from the grave.
Father's will complete. He reigns in victory. Sing hallelujah to the King. He is worthy to receive all the worship we can bring.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing, sing hallelujah to the King. He is worthy.
Father God, we're thankful today to declare what you've done, your transforming power in our lives, your work in our hearts, your work in our world to redeem and restore this earth. God, we gather in your name. We're thankful to elevate the name of Jesus today in this place. Would you be honored in the way that we worship you? As we hear from your word in a few moments, would you use that time to work in our hearts, shape us in the people that you want us to be? And God, all of it, for your name to be known in our communities, in our city, in our world, that you would be elevated. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Everyone said together, amen.
Amen. And hello, everyone. Welcome. Everyone in the room, feel free to grab a seat. And welcome to those of you joining here in the room and also those of you who may be watching online right now from someplace, perhaps in your living room right now. Hey, it is so good to be with you today. If I have not had the chance to meet you before, my name is Lynn, and I'm on staff here. And it is so great anytime that we get to gather. So I'm glad that you are here today. Hey, if you are new, We would love to meet you before you leave today. And so before you leave, right outside these doors, we have our Next Steps area. And we just invite you to stop by and say hello. We actually have a small gift that we'd love to give you just as our way of saying thanks so much for joining us today. But we really believe that every single one of us, no matter how long we may have been following Jesus, whether this is our first day or we've been following him for years, we believe that everyone has a next step to take on their faith journey. So please feel free to stop by if you'd like to hear more about what your next step might be. But right now, I get to share with you about a few really exciting things happening in the life of our church. And the first is that we are going to be kicking off Advent Conspiracy. Check this out right now. Advent Conspiracy is such an incredible movement that recognizes the consumerism that can become our lives at Christmas. And really, it's an invitation to push back against that consumerism and to live and to give generously to the types of things that we believe Jesus cared so much about. And so this year, I want to actually show you a list of some of the partners of who we are partnering with for Advent Conspiracy. There's so many great organizations here. And the important thing to know is that every single cent that is given towards Advent Conspiracy, it will go completely outside of these church walls and out into our community, to places like this, into our world. And so we are excited about Advent Conspiracy, and really every single one of us is invited to join in. And so the way to join in on the movement is simply by deciding to give. If you are interested to join in and give to Advent Conspiracy, you can do that at any of our sites and venues. There's offering boxes in the back. You can also give by going online. And also when you go online to the hub, you can also learn more about what these organizations are doing and the important work that we get to partner with. So we hope that you will join in on Advent Conspiracy. Another event coming up that is a big one that we're super pumped about is Study Day. You guys, we have an incredible event called Study Day, which happens twice a year for college students in our city. And our next Study Day is coming up already on Friday, December 13th. And so any college students here in the room, college students watching online, or maybe you know a college student, you are invited to come here where we are going to transform this entire building here at Black Hawk Brader Way for college students. From 9 a.m. till 10 p.m., there's gonna be free food all day. There's gonna be places to study, places to hang out, and we're gonna cap the night off with a great time in worship. So college students, we hope to see you at Study Day. And for the rest of us, it takes hundreds of volunteers to pull off an event like Study Day. So many of you have already signed up to serve. Many of you have served before. But we have all kinds of ways that you can serve, whether by bringing food or by helping with teardown. There is a whole range of ways to serve. Something special that we're doing this year, there are actually new opportunities that you can serve during finals week for students. We are partnering with Upper House and actually all week long helping to create a space with free food and a way that we can love college students the week of finals. So if you are interested to serve at Study Day here at our building or down at Upper House as we work and serve to love our college students, you can learn more about that by visiting the Hub. I have been talking about the Hub, and so I want to remind you that we have a QR code here. You can scan this. You can also find the Hub under our menu tab on our website. And by going to the Hub, it's a great way to see all of the events that are happening in our church all in one place. This can answer lots of the questions that you may have, even as you've been listening to me speak this morning. So one other event that I want to highlight that you'll see when you go to the Hub, we have an event called Animals of Bethlehem. Animals of Bethlehem is happening on Saturday, December 7th, from 9:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. here at Brader Way. And you guys, this is going to be such a fun experience. You are invited to come and to experience the Christmas story in maybe a way that you never have before. We are going to have a live manger scene outside. That's right, there's gonna be animals. The animals are gonna be here that likely would have been present with Mary and Joseph on their journey in the Christmas story. There's also going to be a great movie, a short kids animated film that we'll be showing. It's called The Star, and we will be screening that at both 10:30 a.m. and 12:30. In addition to everything I've already said, we're also going to have crafts and treats, and it's going to be a great time. So be sure to invite people in your life to join you, and we hope to see you at Animals of Bethlehem. But today, we are wrapping up our Kingdom of God series with a message from Pastor Charles. So let's go to Charles now.
All right, before I get started, I think most of you, if you walked in, you probably noticed something going on back there. What's happening is we have people coming in to do some testing of camera equipment. And those of you who are not in the room, you probably have already noticed the differences. You're noticing some shots and some angles that are not typical, not usual. Now, they're not staying. They're going to be gone, and then they're going to come back later. Because what's happening is this is all part of Project Tech. It's part of our ongoing effort to improve the worship service experience for people in all sites and all venues, and also those people who are worshiping with us online. A quick update: we have signed a contract for implementation. Work starts early months of 2025, which is not that far away. So you will notice some differences here. Look, it's kind of like house renovation. It might take longer than you think. It might show up in surprising times and ways. So I think we invite people. We roll with it. Already things are happening. We've installed some external security camera here at Brader Way site, and soon in the winter months you will see security cameras going up in all the BKID spaces and all the sites and venues. Now remember, we want to reach out to our community, and this is what it's about. We want to bring people into the kingdom of God. And so thank you for all the partners, people who have joined in to help make Project Tech a reality. Thank you so much. Well, let's get to today. I'm going to talk about something that might make some of you upset with me. I didn't know this, frankly. Like a couple weeks ago, I brought my manuscript into the teaching team, and there were like such strong pushback. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know this is a thing. Well, apparently it is. And so today, okay. I am still going to teach what I think the Bible says. But because I think this topic is kind of new, I mean, we don't hear it very often, I think some of you are going to push back, and that's okay. I'm totally okay with that. Some of you are going to like, and others of you are really going to love this talk or hate this talk. What am I talking about today? Today I'm talking about why we sing in the worship service. All right, before I keep going, let me introduce myself. My name is Charles. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team. We're in a sermon series called The Kingdom of God. And what we learned from the very beginning is that the central message of Jesus when he was teaching on earth was about the kingdom of God. And what we learned is Jesus, when he came, he started the kingdom and he started inviting people into the kingdom. And so here we are in this period of time. And what we learned is that as God's people, his kingdom citizens, we live in this world. We live in this physical world that doesn't quite belong to God. And so we are exiles, right? We are exiles. America's not our home, right? That America is not our final allegiance. And then what are we doing here? Well, we learned that we have a mission. Our job is to reveal God to this world and call people into the kingdom. And then a couple weeks back, we learned that God has a multicultural vision for this kingdom, a multi-ethnic kingdom for this kingdom, and the church should reflect that if possible. And then last week, Pastor Matt, I mean, if you missed it, you got to catch this. He talked about the primary ethical difference between the kingdom and our world today, and that is the idea of freedom. Our world offers a freedom, they call, that leads to slavery, whereas the kingdom offers true freedom, a freedom to love. Freedom to embrace the constraints of love. That was last week. If you missed it, you got to catch it. So today, we're going to finish off the Kingdom of God series with one last thing that distinguishes the kingdom from the world. And that is this. God's people, where possible, we gather together on a regular basis and do a thing called the worship service. This is one of those. You're in one of those right now. And we're not the only ones doing this. I mean, churches all around Dane County, state of Wisconsin, United States of America, all around the world, God's people regularly, probably, you know, it was like once a week, sometimes even more frequent, we gather together to do one of these things. So today I want to tackle two questions. Number one, why do we do this? Like, why do we gather together? Why do we do a worship service? And the answer to that question is going to help us answer the second question, which is, why does our worship look the way it does? That's our goal for today. And my hope is that by having those two questions answered, it will encourage you to engage worship more deeply, that you will have a more profound, more transformative experience as you encounter God through our worship services. So that's a goal for today. All right, so question number one, why do we do this? There are 168 hours, with my math right, 168 hours in a week, and 167 of them we do various things. We sleep, we eat, we work, we go to school, we hang out with friends, we watch television, we're online, we're doing stuff. And then 1 hour of those 168, we gather together and do a worship service. Now, I don't know how you feel about this 1 hour, but it's very common for people to think of that 1 hour is either therapeutic or educational. Like therapeutic, I just went through my week. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I feel alienated. I'm frustrated. I come here. I get to go. I get to reset my relationship with God. I feel better. Now I'm ready to go out and do the week. Therapy. Therapeutic. Or educational, because there's usually a talk from the Bible. And the talk is usually, you know, can be very much applied. It's wisdom. It's applied to our life. So I can take it and use it in my life and make my life better. So therapeutic and or educational. Now, don't get me wrong. A worship service can and often are both educational and therapeutic, but if that's how we think about this 1 hour, then we're missing the heart of worship. You see, biblical worship, while it can be therapeutic and educational, it is ultimately about our true spiritual reality. Let me explain that. Let's begin with who we are as Christ followers. And those of you who've been on Black Hawk, you really should know this by now, right? Jesus died on the cross. And the moment we put our faith in Jesus, what happens? We join him on the cross. We die with him on the cross. And then we resurrect with him. And so that as a result, we are in a spiritual union with Jesus. That is the heart of our spiritual reality. We are in a spiritual union with Jesus. The Bible calls that in Christ. We are in Christ. But Now, if you think about that, it's more than that, because if I'm in a spiritual union with Jesus and you're in a spiritual union with Jesus, then we are in a spiritual union with other Christ followers. And that's exactly what Jesus talks about in his prayer in John chapter 17. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he makes this big prayer. And this is what he says. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. Okay, this is, Jesus is talking now. Them here is the disciples. And Jesus says, I'm not just praying for the disciples. He says, no. I pray also for those who will believe in me through the disciples' message. And who are these people? That's us. That's every Christ follower since have heard the message of Jesus through the disciples. That's everybody. Okay, that's us. So what does Jesus pray for us? Well, that all of them may be one. Right? He's praying that all of us are joined together in a spiritual union with him, which we already know that. We just talked about it. Okay, great. We know that already, Jesus. But then Jesus takes it further, right? He says, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We are united with Jesus. Who is Jesus united with? The Father. What is Jesus praying for? Jesus praying that we are to be in a spiritual union with the Trinity, right? Do you see that, right? The logic is impeccable. We're united with Jesus. Jesus united with the Father, which means all of us are in a spiritual union with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're in a union with the Trinity, the eternal, loving, intimate, mutually knowing, mutually submitting, divine community of the Trinity. Okay. Can I just say how weird that is? I mean, wait, okay, it's hard enough trying to explain the concept of the Trinity. Now we have to be part of it? I mean, right? Think about it, right? I mean, okay, when I say those words, we're part of the Trinity, I mean, it just sounds like a mouthing words, like wah, 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 you know, like just Charlie Brown stuff, right? I don't know what that means, right? We have no clue what those things are saying. And every now and then, you know, we have this thought in our head about being part of the Trinity because, you know, a speaker comes up here and talks about this, I don't know, once every 3 years. And the moment you walk through that door, it's gone. Why? Because we don't see the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We don't see the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, no. Let me just make sure I'm saying this right, because some of you, maybe you experience that. Maybe you walk around going, yep, I feel the Trinity. And that's my vibe, feeling it every day. Okay, that may be you, okay? But for most of us, we go through our time together, our life together, without an inkling that we're supposed to be in a spiritual union with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? We don't, because we don't see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see our physical surrounding. Like right now, my senses are telling me that I'm on a stage in an auditorium in Madison, Wisconsin. There are a bunch of people in front of me. The light's a little blinding. I'm beginning to sweat because I run hot when I talk. And those of you, your senses are telling you are sitting where you're sitting. And you're watching a guy slightly sweaty giving a talk. That's what our senses are telling us. That's what our rational mind is telling us. And that's how it goes 24/7. We see what is normal life around us, our physical surrounding, and we don't see anything else. And that's the problem. There is a massive disconnect between our experience of life and what the Bible says is our spiritual reality. And that's hard for us. As kingdom people, we need reminders. We need to remind us that what I see isn't the full extent of who I am, not even close. I am so much more than that, but I can't remember because the moment I walk through that door, real life, whatever that means, takes over. And my spiritual reality, my spiritual identity, out of sight, out of mind. Well, here's the good news. God knows that. He knows that about us. That he knows that we need reminders. And not just reminders, actually. He knows that we need to have an experience, that we need to have a glimpse of our spiritual union with him and our spiritual union with others. And so God, he designs a special space, a place where we are invited to experience our union with him and our union with others. In the Bible, that space is called the temple. Those of you familiar with biblical theology, you know that the temple is one of the most important biblical themes in the Bible. It runs from the first page of Genesis 1 all the way through to the last page of the book of Revelation. It is a massive concept, right? I can spend the next 3 hours lecturing up here on the biblical theology of temple, and I won't get done. I mean, just in the Old Testament, we can start with the Garden of Eden being the very first temple, the space that God designs for relationship with us. We can go to the last chapters of Exodus, where it describes the design of the tabernacle, which is a mobile tent that houses the presence of God for ancient Israel. Or we can go to 1 Kings, where there's chapters and chapters that describes in loving detail the temple that King Solomon builds. Or we can go to 2 Chronicles and talk about the full operatic choreography that David does for temple worship. That is a feast for the senses, sights, sounds, smells, all of it, architecture, sacred symbols, sacred personnel, choreography, instrumentation, stage design, all of it working together to bring God's people, to invite God's people into a presence, into encounter with him, and a sense of unity with each other. The Bible is loaded on this stuff. Now, we don't have time to do that right now, but we are gonna touch on a little bit of that in the next series. Our next series is called God With Us. It's an Advent series. And it's a series we're gonna, just gonna tiptoe into the biblical theology of temple. So I don't wanna do a deep dive right now, but I want us to make sure we get the biblical principle. And this is it. In the Bible, in every generation of God's people, God designs a special space where he invites God's people to experience union with him and union with each other so that we can know who we are. So that's the answer to the question. Why do we do worship service? A worship service is a designed space where we are invited into a deeper awareness and experience of our spiritual union with God and with other Christ followers. Let me read that again. A worship service is a designed space where we are invited into a deeper awareness and experience of our spiritual union with God and with other Christ followers. Our first question, why do we do this thing? That's the answer right there. And that helps us answer the second question. Why does our worship service look the way it does? This is a screenshot of how we lay out our worship service. This is using the app called Planning Center. And we have one of these for all the sites and venues. And our pastor of Sunday Experience, his name is Joel Hosenzahl. He works with the worship arts team. He works with the teaching team. He works with the hosts. And these are the people you actually see on stage. And then there are the people you don't see, the communications team. They work really hard to help our church family know and be up to date on what's happening in our church family. We have tech team. They're in charge of the lighting, the sound, the visuals. We have them at every site and every venue. And online people, you don't have them without the tech people at all. I mean, you don't even see any of this without tech people. In our room, they're sitting the booth back there, as well as there's also a control room out that way. I thought about asking them to stand up so we can applaud for them, but I've been told that is a surefire way for them all to quit. So not doing that. But then we have people outside the room, right? We have people, the parking team, the welcome team, the prayer team, the communion team, the coffee team. We have people in B-Kids. These are people who are designing an experience for our kids that is age appropriate for them, all the while giving us the freedom to design a space that's age appropriate for adults. So I wanna say to you, all of you who are part of these teams, part of coming together to help us put together the Sunday worship, to all of you, I want to say thank you on behalf of our church family. Can we give them a round of applause? All sites and venues. All sites and venues. But more than appreciation, I want you to hear this. Okay. What you're doing is not what you think. You're not just up here playing guitar. You're not just making coffee. You're not teaching kids. You're not directing traffic. What you're doing is holy. What you're doing is holy because you are part of a team that partners with God to create this space that unites people into an encounter with him. Which means in the Old Testament, you would be called a Levite or a priest because you mediate God to God's people. You help people encounter God, and that encounter transforms lives. So our worship service is designed, and there's a team putting it together every Sunday, and you are very welcome to jump in. All right, let's get to the elements of the worship service. This is Planning Center for today. If you can see this, 1 minute for a call to worship, welcome. About maybe like 13 minutes roughly for singing and prayer. There's a host welcome moment with the Advent Conspiracy video, total about 6 minutes. I have 32 minutes and 20 seconds with the Brandimation. Strangely precise, isn't it? Gosh, okay. And then we have two more songs for about 10 minutes, 2 minutes of benediction for a total target of 65 minutes. Sometimes we run long. We never run short. guilty right here. But if we boil it down, right, what you really have is about 20 some minutes, 25 minutes of singing and about 35 minutes of teaching, of talk, right? So those combined for about 60 out of the 65 minutes. So the question then is, why those two things? Why sing and why give a talk? Paul says this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. There are the two elements of our worship service, teaching and singing. Singing. What it does is it's designed to help you enter into the presence of God, to experience God being with you, united with you, and so that your heart is now ready to hear from him. And then we have the talk, and the talk is about hearing the voice of God through his word in the Bible. That's how the worship service is meant to work together, singing and teaching. Now, I don't have time to get into a theology of preaching because that's a huge topic. Okay, so I don't have time for that. So for the rest of our time together, I want to get into a little bit about why we sing. Or specifically, how is singing supposed to help us experience our union with God? Why do we sing? Why is singing part of the worship service? And a simple answer, the Bible tells us. And not just the book of Colossians. I mean, let's just go to the book of Psalms, okay? So here's where the book of Psalms talks about singing. 5:11, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. I will give thanks to Yahweh. When you see the word Lord in all caps, it marks God's personal name, Yahweh. I will give thanks to Yahweh because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Yahweh Most High. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. Sing the praises of Yahweh enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. Oh, okay, there's more. Is that all there is? Oh, I'm not reading all those. That's just in the book of Psalms, okay? It's all over the place in the Bible. So I'm gonna make this really clear. As God's people, we are called to sing as part of a worship service. Now, some of you are not really happy with me right now. You're like, Charles, look, I try singing. I don't like it. It doesn't do anything for me. I don't feel anything when I sing. Look, I'm here for the talk, okay? That's what I'm here for. And I hear you. Some of you, you're like, Charles, you have no idea. I can't sing. All right, my voice is horrible. I can't hold a tune. If I sing, it's embarrassing for me and it's distracting for others. I hear that too. And some of you, you're not in a position to sing. You are mourning. You're angry with God. The things going on in your life that just really make it hard to do anything like that. And you're like, look, it took all I had to come to Sunday worship today. The last thing I need is to feel pressure to sing. And I hear that too. So let me just make this as clear as I possibly can. Here at Blackhawk Church, we welcome you wherever you are at. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, including your comfort level when it comes to singing as part of a public worship service, okay? We welcome you. There is no judgment, none whatsoever. But at the same time, one of our distinctive is transformation. That while you are welcome to come as you are, what we're always gonna do, without judgment, lay before you what the Bible says. And we wanna encourage you to move, to take next steps. That's what we're gonna do. So the Bible says sing. So I wanna give you some encouragement on why you should do that. And I hope by explaining to you what singing accomplishes, maybe that might help you move. So, two reasons why we sing. Number one, singing helps us experience our spiritual union with God by bypassing our rational objections. Do you have songs that when you hear it, instantly you're gone? You're in a different place? It takes you to a memory long ago or far away? When the girls were young, like 3 and 5, we lived in this condo out in Middleton. And after dinner, this is like our after dinner ritual, we would blast Barry Manilow's Jump Shout Boogie. And we would run around this wicker table in our small little living room, just running in circles as fast as we can, jumping and laughing and shouting, and that's all we'd be doing. Today, when I hear that song, I'm there. I lose sight of where I am. I'm there. Other songs take me to other places. Times of sadness, times of sorrow, of loss, of regret. You have them too, right? Songs have a way of taking us out of our physical surroundings. Connect with our emotions, connect with our memories, connect with our imagination, and take us to places that we otherwise would not get to. A worship song is designed for that. A worship song is designed to take you out of your physical space right here and connect you into the presence of God, if you engage. Now, I know some people, and I'm not saying you for you, I'm just saying some people think, oh, hey, the singing is kind of the intro to the worship service, the time to get some coffee and find a chair, and we wait for the real thing to start, the biblical teaching. The thinking behind that is the assumption that the worship service is really about education. I'm here to learn something, right? Now, I'd be very happy if you walked out of here and learned something and remembered it. I'd be ecstatic. But what I really want is for you to encounter God. I want you to encounter God. Singing opens our hearts, puts us into a posture where we bypasses the rational objections about, you know, the physical surroundings, and we take us into a place where our heart is soft and ready to listen, and then the word of God comes, and we hear from God. It's not an information download, folks. It's not a lecture. It's to hear from God directly. And that leads to our transformation, leads to our experiencing our unity with who he is. That's the first reason we sing. The second reason we sing, it helps experience our union with our family. I don't know if you ever think about singing. Like, what happens when you sing, right? You use your diaphragm. I'm using my mouth, my tongue, my vocal cord. I'm producing sound. But more than that, I'm actually listening as well, right? I'm listening to the rhythm of the song, the tune of the song established by the worship leaders. I don't know if you ever paid attention, right? When all of us are singing together, we are not just singing the same words. We're breathing roughly the same time. Our mouths have similar positions. We are synchronizing ourselves physically. We're connecting ourselves. We're aligned physically. Now, what does that do? Soldiers used to march on the battlefield. They march in formation. So they don't do that anymore because that would be deadly. But soldiers, in their training, they still march. They still march. They still align their footsteps, their arm motion. They align their body posture. Why? Because physical synchronicity builds unit cohesion. People in the military know that. Because we're not just disembodied brains. Our physical bodies, when we experience being synchronized with others, we experience unity. We experience solidarity. We experience alignment. The last time I was at a concert, at a Springsteen concert, it was in Miller Park. And, you know, Bruce is up there singing, and everybody's, like, singing along. But when we get to the really powerful, very popular verses, you know, like tramps like us, baby, we were born to run, right? I mean, everybody's going crazy. The whole stadium is rocking. It's roaring. You actually can't hear Bruce over the PA system. Now, think about that. 50,000 people singing in unison. It's an incredible experience. Incredible sense of unity, of oneness, however fleeting, however baseless. Or sporting events. We sing the national anthem together. We sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Or at a UW Badger game at Camp Randall. Right? We sing You Rah Rah, or we do this song. Or how about this one? I can hear singing out here, right? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, that sounds like a hymn, by the way. Right? It's praise to thee, our alma mater, you rah rah Wisconsin. That's a hymn. That's a worship song. Okay. Singing at Camp Randall with 80,000 people. Build me a buttercup, varsity. What does that feel like? What does it feel like? A sense of unity. A sense of solidarity, a sense of connection. It's designed that way. It's designed to build a UW community. The more you sing, the more you're involved, the more you're enfolded, the more you care about what happens on the field. Your emotion rises and falls with how our team does on the field, which this season has been really tough. Right? Why does that happen? Because we went there and we started singing. That's what singing does. When singing with other people joins, connects us to each other. And when we sing in a worship service, we experience unity, connection, solidarity, transference of identity, enfolding into the people of God, so that we now care about the welfare of the kingdom of God and his people. That's why we sing. All right, let's go to next steps. Right now, all the sites and venues, I'm going to ask the worship arts team to come up. I want to get to the next step. And I hope you've noticed something, that as I've been talking about worship service, I've been consistently talking about it as an invitation to an experience. And I keep using the word invitation because invitation is something you have to accept. Okay? Just being in one of these rooms, just being in a living room where this worship service is being streamed does not mean you're actually worshiping. I mean, if I go to the gym every day and I walk in there and I just look around, I watch other people worship, work out, I'm not working out. Nothing is happening. Hey, I went to the gym today. Cool. Check that off the list. Okay. No, it doesn't work. Right? It doesn't work. Here, the worship arts team can design an experience for us to enter in, but you have to make the decision to engage. So there's only one next step, folks. Engage. Engage so that you can experience your union with Jesus. Engage so you can get a glimpse of this divine community called the Trinity. Engage so you can be more enfolded and deepen your union, your solidarity with your brothers and sisters in Christ. One more reason. Engage for the sake of others. Because here's the reality. When we're here, we are part of other people's worship experience. Imagine a whole bunch of people walk into the gym and none of us work out. And we just go there and watch. Well, that gym is gonna get toxic really fast. It's gonna get really uncomfortable really fast. Right? People get self-conscious. Or imagine you're at Camp Randall and varsity's playing and nobody is singing. How many verses can you belt out before you stop? We are each other's worship experience. However much we rely on the worship leaders to help shape the experience, we contribute, you and I. And that's as it should be, because we're one body. We're one congregation. We're one family. So engage. Those of you who are like, this whole worship thing is so strange. I don't know what to do with it. I want you to take a small next step and maybe try to hum along. And maybe try to sing a few songs, a few verses. Just give that a try. For some of you, you do sing, but you're like, I don't know. I feel like I can't move. I want to move more. I want to be more expressive. I feel awkward. I want to encourage you because, hey, by the way, the Bible says it's okay. The Bible talks about clapping, hand raising, kneeling. It talks about all these physical things. We didn't have time to talk about it. So, you know, if you want to do some of that, I want to encourage you. If it's just like as simple as maybe putting your hands out like this as you sing. For some of you, I want to give you the freedom not to sing. For some of you, what you really need in the worship space is to pray, to meditate, to lament, to rage against God if you need to. Because what we really want here at Blackhawk is to create this space where every Christ follower is engaged in worship in whatever way that allows you to experience the presence of God and union with others. That's what we're looking for. We want that freedom. We want the engagement, but you have freedom. So let's engage in worship. I'm gonna pray for us, and then I'm gonna turn our time over to the worship arts leaders. Father, you created the space. You create space to connect with you. So Father, we wanna be there. We want to experience you. We experience each other. We want to know what it feels like to be part of the Trinity, whatever that even means. So help us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that's what we're going to do. So let me invite you to stand with us. We're going to do some songs I think we know pretty well. Let's sing these out together.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I'll sing. the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness.
Thousand generations falling down in worship, sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. If you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever. Song forever to the Lamb. Sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy. Chapter 2 gives us this beautiful picture. After talking about how Jesus made himself nothing, he took on the form of a servant. He went to the cross on our behalf. God raised him up, and it says, and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue would confess Jesus is Lord. That's what we're doing today. So let me just invite you, sing out these words. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Let's elevate this. I want to sing it out.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions. see how great is our God.
Sing that chorus again together. How great.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great is our God. The name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our God.
Name above. Your voices, how great.
And how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for this incredible reminder that you love us and you have given us this gift and this ability to sing, to bring our voices not only to you on our own, but together in community. God, I pray that you would help each of us to think differently about our singing and worship. Would you help us to connect with you in an even deeper way as we come to you in song, as we come to you as the body, as we come to you in worship. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, amen. You guys, singing is powerful. We know this, we experience this in our lives. We experience this at Camp Randall. I experience this in the car. Wherever it is that you sing, we know this, we get this. And now we're invited to engage and to jump in. We hope that you'll join us next week as we are kicking off our new series, God With Us. But right now for a benediction, I wanna give our benediction, which is Romans chapter 15, verse 13, which says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we can't wait to see you next week.